good to see everybody out here, and I'd like to thank you all for giving me the chance to talk to you this morning. And as we always pray, hopefully there'll be something in there that you can apply to your everyday lives. So that'd be the goal. As Alex read for us, the primary passage we'll be talking from today is Galatians. So we'll start in Galatians 5:19. I'll start by reading that, and we'll go from there. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of gentleness. Each one looking at yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to one and to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows for the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of the faith. Now primarily I will be talking about the latter part of this reading, but I read the whole thing because I believe it gives context to the passage that I'm going to be talking about. Last time when I spoke to you, my three main points were: we need to not do wrong, we need to do right, and we need to do right for the right reasons. Today, I'd like to talk about some of those things that we can do right. And primarily, I want to be talking about the life of Christ and looking to him as an example and taking things from his life and applying them to ours and living a life that models Jesus, the one that we look up to. But before we get there, I just want to start talking about, I think it's interesting that Paul writes to the Galatians that he knows, as Gary so often puts it, our human condition. He talks about these fruits of the Spirit: the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that we're supposed to do. But right after that, he knows our tendencies as humans. That, you know, we don't do the bad things, we start doing the good things, and then we start getting proud about ourselves. We're like, yeah, look at all the good stuff we do. We do way more than him or way more than her. I am a good Christian. So right after he says do all these good things, I think it's interesting that Paul goes on to say, but don't become boastful. Don't challenge one another. Don't envy one another. Do these good things and do them so God sees them. Just do them for yourself and do them for God and do them for others. But don't compare yourself to one another, because as later in the passage it says, each one will bear his own load. It doesn't matter what the people around you do. It matters what you do. So I'll skip down to verse 4. It says, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to one another, for each one will bear his own load. I believe as Christians it's our responsibility to pick a church to go to, pick a church that we believe teaches the right thing, lines up with what we believe as Christians. But that's only the beginning. And when it comes down to it, because it's only the beginning, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what all the people you go to church with do if you're not doing the right thing. If all the people that surround you are living for Christ and you go to a church with people that are living for Christ, but you're not, it doesn't matter. God calls us to bear our own load. He calls us to do what's right and not to worry about what other people are doing outside the church or what other people are doing in our church. I mean, it's important. They need to be doing what's right. But more importantly, we need to be doing what's right. And that's what I want to be talking about today. So the verse continues. The one who is taught, well, in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, growing up, these sort of passages always frustrated me. Because I always thought, what does that mean? What's all this sowing and reaping talk about? The Bible always throws them out there, but it doesn't really tell me anything. I mean, sowing to the Spirit. So you look up sow, and it says to plant or to put out. So you say, I plant the Spirit. Still doesn't really help me. And that's why I read the passage from verse 5. Because I think what it's talking about when it says sow the Spirit, it's talking about doing these things that make up the fruits of the Spirit. To further enhance this point, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians 9:9. Sorry, 9:6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. Now when I was looking up what this sow and reap thing meant, there's a lot of passages throughout the Bible that talk about sowing the word of God. There's parables that talk about sowing your seed, and lots of them are talking about, you know, giving out, planting God's word, planting the message, and so it can grow in them, so they can maybe sometime down the road grow in and to have a desire to know Christ. But another way it talks about it in this passage in Corinthians, this is in 2 Corinthians, which followed 1 Corinthians, as you know, you can tell by the numbers, but in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to him and said, lay by in store, collect every week, because I'm going to be coming, and you know, there's other Christians that need some of your money. Well, in 2 Corinthians, he's writing to him, and he says, I'm coming down with the Macedonians. A year ago, I wrote to you and asked you to start collecting. I've been telling the Macedonians on how, you know, hold steadfast. The Corinthians are working hard. The Corinthians are putting away money. The Corinthians have done all these great things for you. I'm going to come down and collect these things. So now it's like he's sending them this letter, and he says in here, he says, we're coming. I've been talking about you. Have everything in order. Have everything ready so we don't look bad, so you don't look bad. And then he goes on to say, God loves this cheerful giver. And what this really pointed out to me and how I think I can define sowing as a way that makes more sense is I think you can kind of interchange give to or give out for the word sow. And it works perfect in this passage, and I'll say it if you put that into the passage we read before, I think it also fits pretty well. For it says, now I say, the one who gives sparingly will also reap sparingly, but the one who gives bountifully will also reap bountifully. And I think you'll see that sowing is talking about the investment that you make. And when you go back to the passage we have in Galatians, I think it fits so perfectly here when it says, the one who gives into his own flesh, I'm changing give for sow, will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who gives to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. I'll encourage us as Christians to take these fruits of the Spirit, and that's what we need to be giving out into the world. Is that it's work, but I think that's what sowing the Word of God is it's giving the things that God tells us to do to the world. Not, it can be money, like it talks about in the Corinthians thing, but also in verse 9 of that passage, it talks about doing good deeds, sowing good deeds. And I think that's part of what we can do as well. So to continue in this lesson, I thought if we were going to learn how to do good deeds to other people, that Jesus is the one that we need to look at. In verse 9 of Galatians, it continues on. It says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. As Christians, from what I see, we do a really good job at helping out other brothers and sisters in Christ. I am continually impressed at how well our family here and other churches have done to help out people that are in need. I mean, we do, a wonderful job when someone needs to be moved, helping those people move. When somebody's sick, coming by and visiting them, writing them cards. That's something that I'm continually impressed by this congregation to do, that you really are a tight-knit family, and you do that excellent for the people that are in the family. But I'll encourage you to take that same attitude out into the world. Because as verse 9 says, 10 rather, let's do good to all people. I think as the Hebrews writer says in 12:1, he's talking about living your life. He says, fixing our gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And he's saying as we live our life, let's set our gaze on him and model our life after him. So what I did next is I started going through Jesus' life and seeing he was really the first evangelist. He didn't have much of a family in Christ because he was starting Christianity. So all the people that he was talking to and interacting with him were people that, one, were not deserving of what he was bringing to them, and two, they weren't Christians yet. And I feel like those are the people that we are going to be interacting with in our life. Jesus didn't have a Christian bubble like we have here. He didn't have that Christian family because he was creating it. So if we can look at Jesus' life, we can see how he interacted with the lost and see how we can incorporate that same thing into our lives. Well, this is a big task because Jesus, like he said, he's the perfecter of everything. He's the perfecter of our faith. There's no way that I can talk about every good thing that Jesus did. So I just picked one. And you guys just want to listen. I'm going to read through some verses. I'll tell you where they are. If you want to turn to them, you can. But I'm just going to try to go through them pretty fast and see if you can pick up on these things that just one thing that I chose to talk about today that Jesus did. And we'll start in Matthew 14:14, where it says, "When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick." Out of 15:32. "And Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, 'I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way.' The disciples said to him, 'Where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 7 and a few small fish. And he directed them to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people." Then in Matthew 20:34, "Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him." And then in Luke 7, you guys are all so good. I hear all these pages turning out there. You're moving so fast. Verse 12, "Now, as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd was in the city with her. And the Lord said to her, he felt compassion for her, and he said, 'Do not weep.' And he came and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt, and he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak." I think what these verses point out is, as I started catching on to this, that so many of these good works that Jesus did, they were preceded by Jesus feeling compassion. And then he acted. And as the writer of James says, or as James says, he says that faith without works is dead. I will suggest that compassion without action is also worthless. Is that over and over again, if you look up all the times compassion is talked about in the New Testament, that if a person has compassion, he then acts on that compassion. And as Christians, I believe that's our duty, not to just feel for somebody and walk away and do nothing, but if we have compassion on someone, it requires us to have action and to do something for that person. There's two parables that talk about compassion as well. The parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the prodigal son. These are pretty common parables, and I know most of you know about them. But again, I'll go over them again real quick. The Samaritan was walking down the road and sees a Jewish man beat up on the side of the road. And Jesus said he felt compassion. And what did it do? It compelled him to action. And he took that man up, bandaged his wounds, put him in an inn, and took care of him. Likewise, the prodigal son. The prodigal took half his father's possessions, went away, wasted them in just a few years. And then when everything was gone, when he was poor, when he was just at the scum of the earth, he came wandering back to his father. And when his father saw him off the field, he didn't see him like, "That's my son, the idiot. Guy really annoys me, took half my stuff, wasted it, a lifetime of saving." No, Jesus said the father felt compassion. And what did he do? He came out and greeted him with a hug and a kiss, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, brought him back in, and threw a feast. He had compassion, and it compelled him to action. I believe as Christians, that's what we're called to do. We should have compassion on the world around us. And again, like I said, I think we do an amazing job at taking care of our family here, our Christian family. Where I think that we can improve is keeping our eyes open and seeing the people out in the world and having compassion for them. And having that compel us to action, compel us to do something for them. And I think if you open your eyes, you'll see there's a lot of people around that, you know, sometimes we get bogged down by, they're the people that annoy us. They're the people that we don't think that they deserve it. It's, you know, somebody that needs some food and we think, well, they're probably just going to waste the money. Well, They might. And actually, I'll tell you, when you're doing good for people, it's not always going to go for the right purpose. Just like the prodigal son. He gave him something and he wasted it. And sometimes when we help people and we do good for people, they're going to waste it too. But it doesn't mean that we need to stop doing it. You know, if you're in school and somebody's behind and doesn't understand them, and maybe it's because they're always talking during class and it really annoys you because you can't listen, and then they don't understand something, I'd implore you to have compassion on them and help them understand. And maybe they can see there's something about you different. And maybe sometime that'll give you an opportunity to spread the word of God. Or if it's somebody at work that, you know, a deadline's coming up and they're behind and they really need their help, they're panicking, they can't get this thing done in time, and you think, serves you right. You're on Facebook all day. No wonder you're running behind. And I think most people in this world would say that and laugh and be like, maybe I'll get your job. Hopefully you'll get fired because you're always on Facebook, and maybe I'll get your job. But I say, as Christians, we should have compassion on the person, help them out, give them words of encouragement. Don't encourage them to continue that behavior, but help them. And, you know, maybe let them know why you're helping them, because you have something that's more important, that things on this world don't mean anything to you. You're storing your treasures in heaven. It's more important for you to do good for other people so that your Father in heaven will know than it is for you to get their job. And I think that'll have a big effect on people around. I think treating other people like you want to be treated. I know it's the golden rule and it's easy to say, but I'll challenge you, it's hard to do. I mean, I catch myself all the time. It's just, you know, you see someone on the side of the road that, you know, has a flat tire, and you're like, oh, I'd really like to stop, but I am late for church. Better go ahead and get there. I mean, there's always things coming up in your life that are great excuses why not to do anything. But maybe that's what they are. They're just excuses that make you feel okay about not doing good. But I believe, as using Jesus as our example, we really can show a lot to the world. So, last 4 points on this, or they're just short ones. But why should we show compassion and do these things? I think number one is in Colossians 3:12. It's because God told us to. It's the reason why I think we should do lots of things. Oops. So, as those who have been chosen from God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Number two, I think it's good for us. I think that showing compassion for people, doing things to people that are for people that they don't deserve, lets us better understand what Christ did for us. We weren't deserving of the blessings that God gave us. We weren't deserving of the compassion that God showed us by sending His Son, yet He did it anyways, and we can't ever pay Him back. And I think showing compassion to people that don't deserve it is a great way for us to better understand what God did for us and better value what God did for us. Thirdly, it helps others. Is that, you know, at the end of the day, whether it's wasted or not, help them out. I think you can go home at night and put your head and go to sleep being happy that you helped somebody else. And fourth, I think that can help bring people to Christ. It's really important to know what the Bible says and to know the different points about it. But I'll suggest that no matter how good an arguer you are and how many points on the Bible and how many times you can sting people with your Bible knowledge, that isn't what's going to bring people to Christ. I think what brings people to Christ is living a life, doing things for people that they see you are different. And they want to be part of that. They want to be surrounded by people who are different just like you. Because the world's full of people that look out for themselves. The world's full of people that are good arguers. The world's full of people that, you know, how to say things in just the right way, that have eloquent tongues, and can use the Bible or can use all different sorts of things to trick people into doing what they want. And while I think that knowing the Bible is very important, I think what people see, what people understand in their everyday life, is people that act different, people that aren't like everybody else. And that's what we're supposed to be as Christians. And I ask you, as the Galatians writer says, is that examine your life, examine your work. And that's great to go to a church that you think that is doing the right thing, and you should do that. But it's not enough. It's only the beginning. Coming and sitting in a pew, that's a start. But living a life that can bring people to Christ, living a life that makes God proud, that's what being Christian's about. And in closing, I'd just like to say that, you know, God, through His Son Jesus, showed the perfect example for compassion as us, for us. And that like I said, while we were sinners, while we were separated from Him, while we were separated by a gap that we can never overcome, that we can never pay back, that He made the greatest sacrifice. He gave His Son so that we could be saved. There's nothing that we can do to somebody else that can exemplify that as well as Jesus did. But we can try. And that's what I'd encourage us to do, is examine our lives, keep our eyes open when we go out for the rest of this week, for the rest of our lives, look to where we can make a difference, and try to do it.